Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
That's how bad Russell Wilson is playing. It's masking Nathaniel Hackett's game day decisions as we're now starting to turn on Russell Wilson and not the head coach.
And Kevin Walsh.
Like this morning, right, I'm like losing my mind, Donnie, because of a 2.5-point spread and the disrespect. In college, a team laying 7 at home, you're like, okay, this is supposed to be a close game.
On Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Here we go on a Friday. Major League Baseball, college football, NFL Friday. You guessed it. This is Moneyline right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh. I'm excited for the show. As fans of baseball teams, today might not get any better for Moneyline. A lot of big doings. I'm ready to go. I have a wager placed on the Phillies game. K-Dub, what do we got today? Yanks on deck.
Huge game. Nestor Cortez. Against Shane Bieber, not much more you could ask for here. Guardians looking to avoid 0-2. Yankees need to protect home field. Rain delay shifted this game. You know, some Yankees fans concerned about the shadows. I mean, here's the deal, man. This was my, you know, you and I haven't been able to kind of recap some aspects of this.
Yeah.
After game one of Yankees Guardians, here was my takeaway. You tell me if this is unfair. I just don't think the Guardians have an offense to even hang with the Yankees. Mm. And in a no-slander takeaway, I don't think the Guardians should get a game here.
It's hard to say that the Guardians can't get a game. It's baseball, you know, we get base hits. But at the same time, you feed right into it after game one. Oh, the Guardians can't hit. What did they do in game one? Solo home run. What else? That was it. Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to build that case to say that today is the day that Nestor Cortez takes the mound. He's been phenomenal over the past month. He's had a great season overall. That lineup, talking about the Guardians, is going to get to him today. And we broke it down on the early line this morning. It's not a great lineup. There's not a lot of power bats in that lineup. And it's more of, do you see them winning a 2-1 baseball game with Bieber being absolutely tremendous? I don't know if that's the case.
It's just a hard sell, right? Like, we make these comparisons when we talk about football, right? Hey, if, you know, to use the NFL for reference, right? The Bucs-Steelers game. Hey, Tampa Bay got to 28. Do you think they won? 100%. Like, Kenny Pickett didn't put up 31 against that defense, right? Where when you watch Yankees Gardens, like, Yankees scored 5. Yeah, game over. Game over. Like, the Guardians don't seem like they have 6 runs in a single game. I'm not sure if they have 4 runs or 5 runs in a single game in them, right? It's almost, they almost seem capped out at 3 with a team total each game now being priced at 2.5.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And also, the lineups obviously are out since this baseball game is going to get underway in about 2 minutes here. But look at the power numbers. That's how you gauge a team, right? In playoff baseball, how rare is it? Single, 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 drive in a run. That's rare. It's usually walk, 2-run, home run, and that's what you get. And looking at the power numbers, which is the isolated power numbers for the Guardians themselves against left-handed pitching, how about this? 036, 036, 143, 048, 120, 111, 176, and 182. So two guys barely at that level, everybody else below that. Now, brings into effect, I'm not a K-prop guy. I know you were having some fun with that during the summer. I got to tell you, I look at the K-props in the postseason, and it's ridiculous. It's either two things happen. You're facing great lineups every night, which is a, you know, question mark, and yes, they're probably great lineups. That's why they're in the playoffs. Or batters in the regular season don't care about strikeouts and all of a sudden care about strikeouts in the postseason.
Working some better at-bats, which,
yeah, what is that?
But you see how that would be, right? It's like, oh, for sure a guy would work a bit of a... It makes sense.
Put the ball in play.
Yeah, even if it's a bit frustrating, I understand the frustration angle of it all, but it does make sense. I will let people know, because we like to root these things on, using the opt-in options. I have a pair of things I'm getting involved with here. Nestor Cortez, actual strikeout prop is 4.5, but it was a minus 180 on DK at 3.5. So you use the 40% profit boost to take that to minus 130. Which, under normal, like, that's a stone cold smash. A 3.5 to minus 130 when 4.5 look legitimate. And then there was a total base boost. And I just took my guy, Judge. It's plus 113 now instead of minus 110 for two plus bases. It's just one of those, Donnie, where Judge didn't obviously do a ton in game number one. Obviously, I respect Shane Bieber. But a world of Aaron Judge gets a hold of one, a couple of hits, a double. I'm giving, you know what I mean? For me, there wasn't anybody else that I thought jumped off the page to back here, so I figured I'd back Judge.
I love this, too, because I'm watching right now, just, you know, Quan on deck taking some swings. I mean, you want to talk about 62 degrees, sunny skies. Like, if you are a fan, you don't have to be a Yankees fan or a Phillies fan today or later on, let's just say, a Dodgers, Padres, whoever fan today. But just sitting back here, what a way to start your weekend with big-time playoff baseball, a huge Saturday football card, Sunday NFL. And I got to tell you, we're going to go over the top 25 games in college football in hour number one. There are a couple bangers here. We'll get you caught up on what the lines are looking like, the totals, and maybe some insight here from Kevin as we head into the weekend. But this is going to be a fun show, and if you want to get involved, it's easy to do. 844-843-6879. Always happy to take your calls. New caller, old caller, everybody. Let's have some fun today and really get after it. But this first pitch is coming up today. Before we get to that, K-Dub, who's your MVP in this game, quick? Who is it? Who is it? Who gets the who goes over the fence, double in the gap? What is it? What's going to take?
Give me playoff performer Stanton figuring it out.
Oh, figuring it out. Let's have some fun. We are cruising here on Moneyline already. 2 hours of nonstop action. It's Donnie and Kevin in the afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Underway on a Friday. It's Moneyline, and they are underway in the Bronx right now. 2-1, nobody out. Uh-oh, Nestor. What's going on out here? You got to put guys away with two strikes. Here we go. Now, let's just take a look at some of these updated lines here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for this game. Let's see. I got one out right here. I don't even know if I'm a little... it's so funny, Kevin. Like, FanDuel is so... Like, I'm watching on cable right now. FanDuel is so much faster. And the only thing I asked for, like, why can't I have this? Like, FanDuel, have a licensing agreement. I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it every month. Let me click on that game and watch that video live as soon as FanDuel gets it. Well, they could make so much money. Why can't we do this?
Yeah, but I don't know. They get their feed from something else that's not like television.
No, they get their feed from a guy in the actual building there.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
There's a guy at the game doing that live. So I understand what you're saying. It can't be that fast. But my goodness, I just wish it would be. It'd be so nice.
All right. Like, it's funny, this is just kind of like the age of streaming we're in. Like, especially on a Sunday primetime game when everyone's tweeting about the same thing. Like, I'm kind of mainly now on streaming. It's just kind of the nature of, you know, you move out, right, my age. And it was when the Packers and the Bucks, the Bucks needed to go for the two-point conversion. And, like, a Tampa Bay beat reporter was like, well, after a false start, Tampa Bay falls short. I'm like, after a what? Hold on a second now. Like, I didn't even have him false starting yet. I was like, whoa, what do you mean? I'm not understanding. So
it's absolutely tough stuff. Like, because I had enough of it when I was sitting back and, like, watch this. Because I like to, I'm very, like, you know, I need Twitter up. I got a couple TVs going. Like, I like to be in the mood and certainly, like, talk to everybody and see what, like, the pressure is. But you see it on Twitter here, and I just say to myself, okay, the Eagles failed on that fourth down conversion. They didn't even break the huddle yet, man. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, God, good night. By the way, double play here for the Yanks as they get out of the inning and out of trouble. 5.5 now is that total. Drops a half of a run after the top half of the first inning. That's pretty crazy right now. So we'll keep an eye on that and much, much more. Atlanta Braves, Philadelphia Phillies, first pitch 4:38 today. Nightcap, Dodgers and the Padres, 8:38. And the one thing that you do, like, outside of this Yankees game, look at these lines. Phillies, minus 112. Dodgers, -126. These are big-time games. I mean, they mean everything. By the way, Strider is going to be the official pitcher here, Kevin, in that Phillies-Braves game.
Yeah, you know, how do you match that up? How do you, numbers-wise, is that a big advantage for Atlanta? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, when was the last time we saw Strider pitch at this point?
That's the issue. That's the issue. If you're just saying to yourself, line these two guys up healthy, I mean, obviously it's a no-brainer. But is this one where, hey, it's touch and go, you got 50 pitches, 60 pitches, and that's all you're going to get, and if you struggle a little bit early, do I come get you? But I would have rather had Morton in the lineup. But I did take, we'll talk about it a little bit later, a nice home run parlay for two guys to hit home runs, which I had a free bet, basically, is why I'm doing this. Not because, oh, I got this thing lined up. But as Kevin would say, I would take these two players to each get, like, a base hit. They would do that, but, you know, two home runs for one guy, one for the other guy. It's like, why did I waste just a base hit to get this action going? But we'll have some fun talking about more and also breaking down that Padres-Dodgers game in hour number two. But why don't we have fun here? Well, I mean, college football is blazing tomorrow. Some weeks you look at the schedule, Kevin, and you go to yourself, all right, there's one good game, and it's like Alabama versus Arkansas, right? You're like, I'm going to get excited for that one. But you got stuff across the board all day long. This is one of those there, if you're saying, hey, I want to clear my schedule by 3:30 or 7 o'clock, you're already missing out on the big games. You can't run the Home Depot, Kevin, at 12:30 and try to get back by, you know, 1:30 or 2 o'clock. You're already missing some bangers out here. And that one banger to start early is going to decide a lot in the Big Ten. And for me, it should be Michigan. Michigan should win this football game. I want to see Michigan-Ohio State in the final game of the year to decide a lot of things. Big Ten winner, going to the football playoff, a legitimate championship contender. If we're looking at this Michigan-Penn State game, it's hovering right around that touchdown line that it's been all week long, and we're ramped up. This is a 12 o'clock start on Fox Saturday. What are we looking at in this game? Maybe some key players, and I don't even know. I didn't check. Do we have props out yet for this game? I assume we probably do.
You know, I'll double check you on that. Obviously, again, the New York aspect of it is
we do. Tricky. Ooh, -600 to score a touchdown.
Yeah, sounds like Blake Corum.
Yeah,
man. I mean, what else is he going to be priced at? Craziness there. But this is a game, just from that big picture kind of respect for a second here. You know, Penn State did not enter this college football season ranked. We now sit here with them as a top 10 team in the country.
Overhyped yet, though? Top 10. Overhyped? That's the first question. Because I don't view Penn State as a threat, but they're the 10th team in the country.
It is. Now, the cop-out answer is, we're going to find out, right? Well, we want to know beforehand. Yeah. And I think I might lean towards a yes. See, the game that really changed everything for Penn State, from a perception, Donnie, was Auburn. Well, Auburn is awful. Terrible. And I don't think anybody's kind of gone back to the drawing board and recalibrated the Nittany Lions since then. They played a nonsensical game against Central Michigan that we knew was never going to be competitive. And they played a game against Northwestern in the rain. They sneak away with a 10-point win. Northwestern's not a real threat. And that's kind of the game, right? And next, you know, they're on a bye. So now here we are. But I will just say, from that big picture angle, Michigan has to go to Ohio State. So even if Michigan goes into that Ohio State game unbeaten, right, they're probably going to catch a touchdown. If not more, it's not going to be like this narrow spread, right? Home field advantage, preseason priors. But if Penn State wins this game, Donnie, and we go, wait a minute now, maybe this is real here. The Nittany Lions actually get to host Ohio State. And we know how big the whiteout games are. If they're, although I've actually heard they might not use the whiteout game for the Ohio State game.
No, it's not. Just,
isn't that you who told me that? Aren't they using it
like,
for
like the Indiana something or something? I don't see their schedule. Yeah, I don't know what their schedule is, but I think it's like an Indiana or something like that.
Yeah, I which is just like very bizarre.
I'm going to bring up their schedule.
Maybe Maryland or maybe a Michigan State last game of the year or something like that.
No, it's Minnesota. Minnesota, there you go.
Before Ohio State.
Now, is that – now, let me ask you this question. Is that because maybe – does that Ohio State-Penn State game, is that could be a noon kickoff? Is that why they won't do it? Because they know Minnesota's at night? Yeah.
Yeah, it is a TBD. So maybe – But how do you?
I'd still have the white out in the afternoon, though. Stop it! You come on.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Maybe it's like, all right, if we lose the Michigan, we'll get the fan base back by playing this game in a white out against Minnesota, and then we're like back high vibes going into Ohio State.
Honestly, though, if we talk about that, the real motive is not like, well, we know Minnesota's at home. The real motive is, we need this for motive. This can't be one of those where we go white out Ohio State, get shelled 40-10, and next year they go, well, white out game, what's that mean? Like, you guys got killed last year. And you just keep that in your back pocket. Go, well, every time we have a white out, we perform awesome, which you're supposed to do against Minnesota.
But Minnesota's like maybe going to be favored to win the Big Ten West, depending on some results this weekend. Like, what if...
Everybody looked at that schedule. Ohio State's the home game. You have one whiteout a year. Yes, yeah, I can't wait to be that game at the whiteout for Ohio State. Oh, by the way, it's Minnesota.
Yeah. I'm very serious in that if you told me they're like, yeah, we can't allow a look-ahead spot. Like, we have to make the... Because don't these teams, like, you know, like the Saban special, right? Like the week before he plays Auburn, he's playing the Citadel
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Every time.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, all right, we unfortunately couldn't schedule a bye, but it's like a dangerous game. We're making that the wideout. Like, we just absolutely have no choice here. But I am similar to you, having my early leans towards Michigan, no doubt.
Yeah, I do want to talk about some of these props, passing props, rushing props. They're all out here. And we'll have some fun in hour number one talking some college football. I know some people are trying to get a hold of us through the phone lines. Hold on, we will get to you. And if you want to line up on the phone with us, 844-843-6879. It's Moneyline on a Friday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're locked into the Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Lock it in. Lock it in. It's Friday. It's baseball. It's college football. It's NFL. We're going to get to it all and your calls as well. And just one of the more disrespectful home runs from a small ballpark you've ever seen in your life. 2-0 New York Yankees on Stanton, which would have been a can of corn in all other ballparks but this one, Kevin. Your thoughts?
Wow. The Guardians are playing in the same ballpark and still can't score. Wow. Enough of that. Let's go. Yes. Also, Giancarlo Stanton, proven postseason performer.
How about that, man? He's actually really done well. Usually it's like, hey, man, he's a big pull hitter, power hitter. He's really done well at saying, let me flick the bat out there and put it over the porch. Play to your strengths, and that's certainly what you can do. Let's get to the phone lines and have some fun today on a Friday. 844-843-6879. First guy up, Gary in Texas. Gary, welcome into the program here on a Friday. What's good?
Oh, nothing much. Just getting excited about the weekend. Got a little baseball. I've got a little everything,
beautiful.
Really. And,
beautiful.
You know, can't wait for it. I got to think of when you were mentioning about, you know, how the FanDuel feed and stuff like that, how, you know, you look at it, it always changes the line. Well, here in Texas, of course, we don't really have gambling, what we do. But I can drive to Louisiana, about 45 minutes away, and they have a FanDuel sports book. Ironically enough, right across the street is Caesars, and right across the street from that is DraftKings. But anyway. If I'm over there, let's say, watching baseball, I can be watching the game and be on the, like one of the live kiosks, and I can look and see I'm going to bet this at plus 156 live. And all of a sudden, I try to get it in, it changes to 165. We're like, well, why did it change? And all of a sudden, you look back behind you, the guy got a single. And the best I can figure, and it didn't matter if it's just one national game. No, it's every game. It can be some random, who knows, Miami Marlins versus Pittsburgh game, and you turn around, you're watching it, and their feed in the sports book is about 7 or 8 seconds behind because it takes a couple of seconds for somebody to change. Now, maybe nobody's changing. It could be, like, computerized, but it takes a couple of seconds to even show the change and, you know, and then, you know, place the bet. And so, they're looking at some feed different. And even in that book, I can look at my phone under MLB, watch on my phone sometimes quicker than they're actually showing it. And so I've actually warned some of the people that are in there, and I'll be, I'm going to bet this because it looks good. Keep in mind, that's behind a little bit. I said, when you see that line change, it doesn't mean necessarily something good. It can mean something bad happened, too. And then when you see that big lock on there, well, something did happen, and you just didn't see it yet.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point, Kevin. By the way, I'm glad you called in because I've done this before, and here's the reasoning for it. Let's just say in Major League Baseball, because there's shutoff points, there's a couple companies that feed the live sports books. You are in the building watching it real time and relaying it back. So the television, which is typically a 7 or 8 second delay because it's broadcast, and that's done for a reason. You know, they have to hit the pause button. If something happens on the field, they don't want to show you. They just hit the dump button. Same thing with live radio, which would have that as well. But in, let's just say, Major League Baseball, a base hit in the gap, what happens immediately to the score in the ballpark? He shuts down the app so nothing can get through. Dials in a double just happened. Hits the go button again, and it goes live. But all that's happening seconds before you're actually seeing that on TV. So the relay time will slow it down a little bit. Same thing as college basketball. If I'm in the building and I just watch a three-pointer, boom, three-pointer this way, going back the other way, that feeds in. You might not be seeing that same thing for 10 seconds, but that person in the building is watching it real time. So there's always going to be a delay, but there is somebody in that ballpark, in that stadium, in that arena that is watching it and inputting that real time before you actually see it on your TV.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that you have that inside.
Yeah, yep.
Like experience that you've kind of, you know, been in the mix. You've told some of the stories when you did it for college basketball. Nightmare.
Yep.
Just sounds like such a, maybe the most stressful environment I've ever heard of.
It should be a six-figure-a-year job with the stress that you have coming back, knowing you have to get every call right. And the reason is sometimes when you're watching those feeds on FanDuel, and Kevin, that number is not right. Yeah, it's because the guy actually put in a triple instead of a single, or a single instead of a triple by accident, and that has to get corrected. And if you don't see it right away, you are the last line of defense before you shut that app down. You could actually go, because knowing that, I've put in three-pointers for the wrong team before. Oh, look at this line I'm getting now. Yeah, that's because DRS didn't see it correctly and made a mistake.
In this day and age, right? Like we talk, because sometimes we've seen like things frozen. You're like, I can keep clicking on this.
Yes.
Like, what happens if the person in the room, like, loses Wi-Fi? Like, I don't want to do something like that's ridiculous.
Happens for
like,
me.
Yeah. Like, lose Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Now I'm behind. You're watching the game. I can't update it. Line's open.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, that just
happens.
There's nothing you can do, right?
Because it's funny, like an NFL umpire or a college basketball referee, there's a grading system that these companies use. They won't let you do games unless you input faster. And there have been times where, no fault of my own, I will get a call from a supervisor. What's going on over there? Like, you know, we have this game about, you know, because you have to keep time as well in college basketball, Kevin. Like, you have to be updating the time. Like, it has a rolling clock, but you have to hit, like, it's a foul. Foul, basket made, this player, stop clock. I mean, there's a lot of things where they're keeping an eye on everything. And the bigger the game, the more money's on there, the more they're keeping an eye and paying attention. But usually, when something goes wrong, you always have the ability, as a fail-safe, to shut it down. There were times where I didn't understand applications that I'm going to overtime, and I'm hitting game over by accident just because I didn't understand like the process of going to double overtime. I've been on every single way you can possibly have it, because you have to have your phone with you, your laptop, and a separate cell phone where if something goes wrong, app gets shut down, you call it in, they work it out, you get back online, and of course, the grading system always comes into it as well. So if you do very well, you can pick any game you want to do, and they'll let you do that, but if the grading is not well, you get, you know, hey, take out this Midwest game at 11 o'clock. Enjoy, pal.
Yeah, all right, let's get to the next guy now that stands and made this game 2-0. I'm more willing to take this.
Oh, here we go. Moose. Come on, Moose. We don't even need an introduction. Get in here. Tell me why the Guardians are coming back today, please.
Why? Because I called in sick today and I'm drinking a cold beer right now on the back freaking porch. All right.
There you
that's
go.
That's why. Okay.
What's the
you
weather over there, Moose? What's the weather? Know,
hey, over here it's in the 60s, but we got a lot of wind.
There you go.
It's a nice, bright, sunny day. You know, I stopped at the local Mexican restaurant, picked up some salsa and chips, then I melted some cheese, some jalapenos, a nice cold Vizzy, and the Guardians. And okay, mark my word, okay, I did it last time with your DRS.
Yes,
okay, so
one week ago.
I had a kiosk in front of me. If I would do Guardians win, and I would do the run total as over on in game, all right. And you know what? I've got broad shoulders, and you guys dish it out, and I can take it, and I dish it out, and you take it. And that's what makes this so much fun. But, absolutely. Hey, K-Dub, I'm glad you made it in today so I can ask you a question. and hey, so in all seriousness, they're looking at other teams joining the Big Ten. Is that kind of what I'm hearing? And if that is true, if they form like another league or another division, can you imagine if they moved Michigan over into Big Ten West, where you would have situations where they would still play the Buckeyes? And I'm sorry I used that M word, the boys up north. I got to have another beer. But can you imagine if they moved them boys up north out into the West? And maybe, or a third, if you get enough teams coming in, because I could just see them guys playing twice and maybe playing. And I tell you what, I had the honor of going to Indianapolis, watching the Buckeyes play Wisconsin several years ago. And that is an electric atmosphere, and there's not a bad seat in that whole house. But you know what? Yeah. Today's a glorious afternoon, just being able to do this. But go Guardians! You know what? Take the run line over and the Guardians to win. You guys have a great weekend.
There you appreciate go, boys. Enjoy. Man, guy's always awesome. Eating and drinking, man. This time of day, I get very envious of that there. But talk about the Moose calling another shot. By the way, he did call in last week on Friday when they were losing and said, don't worry about it. They're going to take care of the Rays. And they did. So he is 1-0 in those circumstances, Kevin.
No, he's absolutely making it happen. I will say you can get the Guards plus 2.5 right now. So a winning wager at the moment. Totals up to a 7. 2 runs on the board. I mean, it's hardly moving. So clearly not a lot of faith in that way. I'll just say quickly to his Big Ten stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to keep up with this stuff. You know this. I think they might be doing away with the divisions in the Big Ten sooner than later. That's the
evolution of college football right now, right? Like, Oklahoma's always got to play Nebraska. No, they don't anymore. But money talks, and the way you're going to set up these leagues is a little bit different now.
But I will say, there's good and bad, right? Hey, we're doing away with the Big Ten East, Big Ten West. Well, hold on. Does that mean that we're not going to get Ohio State, Michigan? No. 100%. But now, when we look at the Big Ten, instead of, well, the Big East is going to compete all year to see who's going to beat the Big Ten West champion by 21 points. Yeah. We don't have to do that anymore, Donnie, thank goodness. And we shouldn't be doing that anymore.
But
right?
How about, like, because rivalries that big, like Ohio State-Michigan, is there going to be a time in 2 or 3 years where Michigan goes, well, we're not going to play Ohio State every year because it's better. We'd rather play Indiana and pick up a win and maybe play for a national championship. I'm telling you, that's the way coaches think. There's a reason why you get 3 cupcakes on your schedule a year. That's because the head coaches go, that's 3-0 for me. We need those wins, as opposed to we'll schedule anybody. Forget the cupcakes. Let's go after Alabama, Florida, and USC instead of Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, and Kent State. There's a reason why that happens here. But I do want to talk college football here because I love the fact that we have prop bets on some of these big games. We're going to hit the top 25, so make sure you come back. We're going to sprint through these games in hour number one right here on Moneyline. If you want to get involved, you can do it. 844-843-6879. Stani and Kevin right here in the afternoon on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's get after it here. College football on Moneyline. We were talking about the Penn State Nittany Lions and the Michigan Wolverines. Some interesting prop bets here. Obviously, the anytime touchdown score market for that game tomorrow at noon Eastern. Blake Corum, a minus 600. Nicholas Singleton, a minus 130, but I think maybe a little bit better. J.J. McCarthy and Sean Clifford passing yards. 225 for McCarthy, 207 for Clifford. And if we double down on passing touchdowns, 1.5 for McCarthy at minus 130. 1.5 for Clifford at plus 124. Any action here on those type of wagers?
So I think the numbers on Clifford are very interesting. As if you look at the quarterbacks faced up until this point for Michigan, really the only noteworthy player would be Tua's younger brother at Maryland. I can't say his first name. I mess it up all the time. So there's a couple of them I just
want
to back on. Sure. I mean, you can go for it, right? But I've built up too much of a reputation that I don't even want to bother.
Nah.
But a young Tagovailoa, he threw one touchdown, 300 yards, two interceptions. If you look at Clifford on this season, this is definitely going to be the best defense that he has faced this year. He had four passing touchdowns, though, at Purdue, which was certainly noteworthy. He was able to put three up on Central Michigan. How much you write home, but this is a team that has enjoyed running the football when the opportunity has been given to them. That's really what they did to Auburn. They smashed that team on the ground. But we are in a spot where this is a team coming off of a bye, Donnie. So this is something that they've been prepping for this for how long, right?
Yeah.
With like Northwestern being the game before the bye. I mean, they've been prepping this game for like a month now, probably, in the room, kind of their best plans and trick plays and things of that nature. But it can be difficult to trust these quarterbacks on their. Now, 50.5 is interesting, though, I have to tell you. Like, we know
over
a football game, that's a little light, usually,
mm-hmm.
That 50.5. I think there might be enough here with these offenses to see the game get over that listed number.
Yeah, it should be. It's a fun one. It's good to start right off there at noon tomorrow. Scroll down here. One of the other ones, and again, same 12 o'clock noon, Iowa State, Texas here. Not really that interested in the outcome of the game. I do think Texas probably should win this one, being a heavy favorite of 15.5 points at the FanDuel Sportsbook, over under 48.5. But I think all eyes are on Quinn Ewers. 247.5 as a passing prop here. Passing touchdowns for Ewers, over 2.5 at a plus 134. Seems like we can't get enough of him, but are those price points there something that said, he should really get that, or yeah. Sounds about right. I don't know how excited I am for this one.
Yeah, fool me, kind of fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times. I had Iowa State Kansas over. Game finished 14-11.
Mm-hmm.
And the next week they played Kansas State, game listed 45. I went, whoa, overreaction, yeah. Great spot to get involved. No, it wasn't. 10-9, even worse. So I'm now feeling like I need to respect this Iowa State defense. But what if I'm overreacting? I'm in a weird spot right now with the Cyclones. Now, the one thing is, we are seeing Bijan Robinson live up to expectations with Quinn Ewers, without Quinn Ewers. Last game against OU, 130 on the ground, two touchdowns. Gets the ball 20 times a game almost now this season. He has scored in every single game that they've played this season. He's had multiple touchdowns right now in four of his six games. I don't know if it's listed right now. Like, is Bijan Robinson like plus 130 to score twice in this game?
Last time I checked, it was like minus 360 to score one. So it sounds about right if that's for two touchdowns, right?
Yeah, I mean, which isn't it crazy that that's what we do in college football, though?
Find it here.
It's like we got to bet these guys to score two.
Yes,
because again, they're going to be like minus. Like, he's the kind of guy that's like minus 1,000 to score one. It's like, whoa. But that's the kind of numbers that you see with these guys. He's actually only minus 360 to score one.
Yeah, I don't have the two touchdown market actually up at FanDuel.
Yeah,
which is kind of
interesting
here. So I don't know if they're delaying that or we'll put that out later. But most of them that we do have now. Obviously, we know the big game of the day is going to be Alabama-Tennessee. Number 3 versus number 6. That line right now. How about this? Minus 8.5 here, Alabama. Is that giving you an indication where somebody knows something that for a starting quarterback, a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that's going to be playing in this game? Because that's what it leads to me. 66.5 now as a total in this one. Any news, any notes, any whereabouts of who that starting quarterback's going to be for Bama?
Yeah, I've been trying to look around and hope we can get some information, but it's really not jumping off right now.
Just to give you an indication here, Bryce Young has now player passing yards 305.5 for this game. Hendon Hooker 266.5.
You know, here's my problem though, Donnie, to be honest with you, is college football is a sport where the books will post a thing like that and they're wrong. I don't know how else to phrase it. I had this Donovan Smith thing, this Texas Tech quarterback over 1.5 passing touchdowns. He had a yardage prop, 287.5, and he didn't start. He was benched. He came in. He had to throw one pass because, a guy probably got injured or something. you know, they gladly took my money away. It's a losing bet. It's like ridiculous. You guys should be refunding all bets on that. It is what it is. My point though with that, like, they just post things, I feel like, occasionally in college football. Because here's why, Donnie. Who's lining up to grab the under right now on anything related to Bryce Young against one of the worst secondaries in college football? So they probably figure, hey, if something goes wrong, like, it's money in our pocket, nothing to worry about there. But usually, you're right, it's like, hey, if we see these numbers, it does mean the guy is going to play. I mean, they have his rushing prop listed in this game.
Everything. Passing props over 2.5, minus 102. Hendon Hooker over 2.5, plus 148. Receiving props here. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs just does everything, I guess. So receiving props, rushing props, touchdown props. Jahmyr Gibbs is 96.5 on the ground in this one.
His number is, the spread is now 8.5, right, as you mentioned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There has to be, Donnie, a report more than somebody knows something here, right? Like, shouldn't I be able to find this with, like, pure certainty that this guy is going to play?
Yep. Somebody's dad told their uncle, it looks like he's in line to start. And that little word starts to trickle out because there's no reason. That's not going higher because, oh, yeah, that's right, Bryce Young's not going to play, right? Somebody knows something there or has a very educated guess on what's going to happen.
Yes. Like, how, like, college, this is what I'm talking about, Dan. Like, college football is nuts like this, man. Like, we want a flat 7, we're up to an 8.5, we have full college player props, and I don't even have, like, one beat reporter, like, rumors out of Tuscaloosa are Bryce Young is 100% healthy. Like, I can't get that at all.
Those beat writers in Alabama, right, they know, let's just say, I just got word back that Bryce is going to be that starter. They can't leak it because then Saban goes, looks like you're on the blacklist for the next couple years now for that one. You see what I mean? Like, is that that different? Where in the pros, they'll be like, I'll show up here every week and pester this head coach, and I'll give information. I'll get reports behind the scenes. If something's going wrong, they'll tell me, and I will report it. Now, the people down in Tuscaloosa going, we know where the start is. We just, like, if it gets back to Nick that I was the one that leaked this, we're in trouble. Feels like it could be that way.
Yeah, I mean, 1,000%, right, with what's his name? Like with Saban there, but like I am, Donnie, I am scouring Twitter right now.
Yes,
like
Google
for
searches.
Just one person who's like, rumor is he plays.
Yes, two people following the guy. He's got information that, you know, the guy, like Bryce Young didn't even make the trip. You know what I mean?
Oh my god! Now that's what we need—the Kawhi Leonard.
Yes,
This was Donnie and I's favorite thing for those of you that were following at the time. Is we would get Kawhi Leonard questionable for game number 5 in Phoenix. By the way, Kawhi will not travel with the team. I was like, oh, now hold on.
Yeah.
Now run that back. What do you mean? Like, Bryce Young actually is not in Tennessee. Like, he's back at home watching the game, but Saban has not ruled him out just yet.
Yeah, we've seen that plenty of times, but I can't wait. That's going to be a fun game. So you got a big-time game at 12, big-time game at 3:30 here. Clemson, Florida State, 7:30 at night. Now, Clemson, top 5 team, obviously Florida State not ranked, but getting a lot of respect here in the betting markets. It's down to 3.5. Florida State only a 3.5-point dog at home. Passer props here. DJ Uiagalelei, 222.5. Guess what? Jordan Travis, 222.5 rush yards for Will Shipley, who I finally found the identity of Big Will. 74.5 here. How about that?
Woo! Yeah, that's your guy.
Big Willie
Styles. This is a number that surprised me when I first saw it and has not really stopped surprising me. I am excited to learn a little bit more here about the respect that Florida State is earning, because, boy, are they earning it, Donnie.
They are.
Home field advantage, I got you, right? You know, but if you would have told me that this game was, Clemson was home and they were laying double digits, I would have not batted an eye at that. I really wouldn't have. So this is a bit of a surprising number to me. I know Clemson had their struggles against Boston College last week, but, one, they ended up winning the game by 28, and two, of course they struggled last week. We went like a legendary level of sleepy spot, playing Wake, then NC State, with a look ahead to Florida State. The fact that they even were able to pour it on late, I think it was a good sign for the Clemson Tigers. It's Man, it's pretty interesting because I feel like a couple of times, I think you and I have agreed on this. It's like, all right, Clemson is done. They're through the tough part. Like they're home free now, right? See them in the college football playoff, and it's like, well, the Florida State game's tough now. It's like, oh, all right, and Syracuse is unbeaten. Okay, and then they're going to Notre Dame, who maybe has turned their season around. It's like, well, is this over or not? Like this Clemson schedule, Donnie, is turning to be less and less of a cakewalk as the season goes on.
Yeah, and that's always the fun part where you sort of lock it in August. Like, oh, this team stinks, team's bad. And then you say, whoa, now. Might be a little bit tougher here. Maybe even Clemson's a little bit better than we thought they would be here. One final game let's talk about here. 8 o'clock start on Fox as well. So Fox giving you a banger at noon and another one at 8 p.m. Eastern. SC versus Utah. This game also, how about this? Utah minus 3.5 in this game. SC's a top 10 team. Utah's a top 20 team, but they are favorite here. If we're taking a look at the anytime touchdown scores market, Tavion Thomas minus 260, Travis Dye minus 250, Jordan Addison minus 220. And the reason I bring up Jordan Addison, last week, I get the old text from K-Dub, take this. I'm like, cool, I'm out of dinner. Let me roll with this. 37 yards in like the first 5 minutes of the game. No longer any yardage or touchdowns here for Addison because he was injured. But I haven't gotten any updates. Haven't really researched all that much. Give me some thoughts on SC Utah on this one.
Yeah, I think this is an unsurprising number. I knew that Utah was going to be favored in this football game. You know, just like it wasn't all too surprising to see them laying a number last week at UCLA. But I disagreed last week, and I disagree here. You know, at 2.5, Donnie, where it's like, hey, look, it's basically pick, field goal decides this game. It was like, all right, I got you. But if I'm not mistaken, this is now back up to the 3.5 here with Utah and USC. Yes. And if Utah is going to be able to take advantage of what is a very bad USC defense, which I think that's reasonable, it does not mean that they're going to run away and hide. USC is going to be the best offense that Utah has seen all year long. Utah has seen two good offenses, and they have been absolutely handled by both of them. The notion that Utah is going to walk in here or let USC walk in and hold this team to 20 points, I find outlandish.
Ooh, college football heating up on a Saturday. One short segment to go before we hit hour number two and we flip it over to NFL and some of the other games in Major League Baseball. This is Moneyline on a Football Baseball Friday. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here of Moneyline for hour number one. Before we flip it over to hour number two and hit that National Football League card, just a quick update here. Yankees 2, Guardians nothing. Bottom of the third inning, no surprises here. The Yankees can score a little bit. The Guardians cannot score at all. A minus 700 price tag here with Aaron Judge at the plate. Two strikes, two balls, nobody out here. Are we feeling threatened here? Because Moose called in and said, you know what, don't worry about it, K-Dub. The Guardians got this thing, but you got to score. You need three runs out of the Guardians to win this game. Do they have it in them?
Yeah, like we've talked about it. It is, like, if I told you this game finishes 2-0, I know that would be a bit extreme, but you'd be like, yeah, okay, right? Like, that's what we've seen from the Guardians so far. This postseason, the offense has just been completely, completely non-existent. I will say this, if you want me to offer up some pro-Guardians Yankee panic, you know, like Aaron Judge going cold going into the postseason is the last thing anybody needs, right?
Yeah.
You know,
get him out of the leadoff spot. What are we doing here?
No, that's where he's been, right?
That's because you need to hit home runs, though.
I mean, the other option is putting him at the two hole, right? I mean, who are you putting
him? Slot him down. Like,
spot?
That bottom of the order is what you say. Oh, nobody can get it. Like, you want him. He's a power hitter driving runs. Boy, I would love to see him be in the middle of that either 2, 3, or 4 spot where you got to pitch to him.
Well, isn't it funny that DJ LeMay, who's like ultimate table setter, injured? All right,
where is that guy? I mean, Donnie, he's played since 2019.
Right. But then Donnie, they're like, all right, you know what we'll do? We'll go and get Benintendi. Oh, he's also injured. Like, the Yankees' deadline swings where Benintendi and Montas, and neither one is on the team. It's, like, pretty incredible, right? Yeah. Like, meanwhile, you had Mets fans blaming their season collapse on Darren Ruff.
Yep, exactly.
I don't know what happened there.
Oh, those Mets going after Aaron Judge in the offseason just to spite the Yankees now or drive up that price. Might make some sense. We're ready to flip it over to hour number two. If you want to get involved, you can. It's easy. 844-843-6879. Callers are lining up. We're ready to get to them and have some fun. Make sure you come back. Hour number two right here on the way.